Fine. So welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming, and I want to also thank the JCC for hosting this and partnering with Lynx for this additional program. Some of you are aware that or have attended. We have a one-on-one type of study from 8 to 9, which you're welcome to stay for. You're welcome to head out either way. And there's no pressure. I thought it's convenient and it's, to have a class right before. Some people will be coming anyways. And it's the right time of year to do a little bit of reflection and a little bit of focus on the time of year. So a typical, not you and I, but, people walk into synagogue on the high holidays, and, a person arrives, and he or she looks around and tries to figure out, what page are we on, and maybe they look over someone's shoulder, maybe there's a page turner, and finally they find the page, great. And then, okay, we're listening to the chazan for a minute or two, and then it starts to, time starts to pass, and you're checking your watch, and then, what page are we on again? Okay, I spaced out for a few minutes, okay, now we're on page 194, and you're like, wait a second, this is kind of fat, this book, and we're supposed to finish this whole thing today, and wow, there's 600 pages in here, and we're up to 194, wait, 600 minus 194, so we have another 406 pages to go, and then you start to freak out, carry the four, and it's daunting, the high holiday service for many, and part of that is because we haven't prepared ourselves for it, and really, if we can gain a little bit more appreciation for what we're doing, then hopefully it will help us through and help us appreciate and not just survive, but benefit, grow from the experience of the high holidays and the high holiday service. School started this week for many, and just imagine for a second that the class comes in, ninth grade class, they show up in school, and teacher, offers a test. First day of school, and it's on everything that they studied from last year. And the students would say, what are you doing? We just got tested. Right before summer break, we got tested, and we've already, we've done this already. Why are we doing this on the first day of school? And really, in a way, that's kind of Rosh Hashanah, the high holidays. Rosh Hashanah, which means Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. But it's also, our tradition teaches us, it's the day of judgment. And it's interesting because it's not on the last day of the year. It's on the first day of the year. You would think that that's how you close out the year, with the test or with the examination to see how you did. We're going to judge how you did, and then that's going to decide your future, whether you pass on to the next grade or not. But here we have, for some reason, that the examination is actually on the first day of the year. And I want to try to understand why that is. Every culture has a different way of celebrating the new year. The ball drop. In Spain, I read there's a tradition to eat 12 grapes on New Year's Eve, which is kind of reminiscent of something we'll talk about, which is the simanim, the eating the different fruits on Rosh Hashanah. But that's a tradition that they have in Spain. But we have our own traditions, but our New Year, of course, is not just a celebration, which it certainly is, and we have festive meals on Rosh Hashanah, but it's also a very serious day because it has this aspect of the Day of Judgment, the high holidays, and why? Why is it that we get judged on the first day of the year? What's significant about this day that this is the Day of Judgment? So let's take out our little source sheet here, and I want to look at the first source, which is just some excerpts from really the weekday Amidah prayer. A person attends services during the week, so everything that I'm drawing on from today is from the Orthodox liturgy, Other liturgies, I think, are mostly similar, at least in the things that we're going to focus on. So in among the blessings of the weekday service, the weekday Amidah prayer, are the following. We say, endow us graciously from yourself with wisdom, insight, and discernment. Right? We pray that God give us wisdom. Another one of the blessings is a prayer for the sick. Bring complete recovery from all of our ailments. And a third one is for a plentiful year. That's also recited every day. Satisfy us from your bounty. Bless one year like our year like the best of years. And those are prayers from the weekday prayer. Every day of the year except for Sabbath and holidays, high holidays included. Now, if you look at the Rosh Hashanah prayer, so it's kind of a different tone. So I just chose some parts, but this is from the Amidah, which is said basically every holiday, including Rosh Hashanah. The prayers are broken down that you first have Shacharit, the morning service, then you have the reading of the Torah, and then you have the Musaf prayer, and these correspond to services that were performed in the temple, the prayer parts of them. So in that Shacharit prayer, in that first prayer, I'll just read it. We pray, God, instill your awe upon all your works and your dread upon all that you have created. Let all works revere you, and all those that you have created prostrate themselves before you. And so too grant honor to your people, gladness to your land, and joy to your city, and preparation of a lamp for the song of Jesse, your anointed, speedily our days, which refers to the idea of the Messiah. And so too the righteous will see and be glad, and all wickedness will evaporate like smoke when you will remove evil's domination from the earth. Then you, God, will reign alone over all your works in Jerusalem, your holy city. So it's a prayer for, really seems to be describing a messianic era where everybody in the world recognizes God and serves God. And it's interesting when you compare these two, because, again, we're talking about today, you know, Rosh Hashanah is the Day of Judgment. So if you were writing, you know, what you should be praying for on the Day of Judgment, so I think you would just, you know, you want to pray for a good judgment, a good year, a year of plenty, a year of good health. That's the blessings that we give each other, right? Right? You should have a good, you know, you should have brachot, you should have blessings, you should have good health. And yet, you know, that's the prayers that we say every day of the year. We pray for good health and wisdom and sustenance. And on Rosh Hashanah, the focus, we don't say any of that. We really just focus on describing this, in a way, perfect world that we, you know, that we pray that we should see, where everybody recognizes God and prostrates themselves before God, but no prayers for the types of things that we would want to be judged favorably for. I put one more excerpt. Basically, over and over again, you will hear during the Rosh Hashanah services the root word melech, which means king. And there are poems after poems and prayers after prayers that are all about how God is king and God is king and God will be king and God was king and God is king over and over again. He should reign forever. And this major focus on recognition that God is king of the world. And that's really what we're doing over and over again during the Rosh Hashanah services. And so again, I ask, why is that our focus? Why aren't we praying for a good judgment for the things that we normally pray for every day? I'll add to that if we are indeed judged on Rosh Hashanah, that's the Day of Judgment, so what are we praying for the rest of the year? Right? If the judgment is decided on the first day of the year. So what are these prayers that we say every day? You know, we should have sustenance and we should have good health. It's already been decided, I thought. We had the Day of Judgment. So these are all questions that in the next 15 minutes or so, I hope we can develop some answers to. So the first question is why today? Why is Rosh Hashanah, why is the Day of Judgment on the first day of the year? So our tradition teaches us that, well, actually, if you look on the second page, we say in the Musaf liturgy that this day is the anniversary of the start of your handiwork and a remembrance of the first day. So it sounds like Rosh Hashanah is the first day of creation. But that's not, in fact, true to our tradition. The tradition is that the world was created on the 25th day of Elul, of this month, and that Rosh Hashanah, 6 days later, was actually the day that man was created. Man and woman, Adam and Eve, created on Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei. And we know that they sinned, and they repented, and they were forgiven. And so since they were forgiven, they faced a consequence, but they were ultimately forgiven. So this is a day of forgiveness. It's a day that that is already imbued, or there's that energy of forgiveness on this day, that spiritual energy, and that's why it's fitting for this to be the day of judgment for us. But not only that, but I think what I want to focus on is that it's the creation. It's a day of where man was created, and that repeats itself on some level every year. And in a way, we are recreated every year on Rosh Hashanah. There's that spiritual energy of creation, and it's a chance, it's an opportunity for us to try and recreate ourselves. In fact, the word Shana, which means year, is very similar to the word Shinui, which means a change or a difference. In modern Hebrew, we say Zelo Mishaneh. Doesn't make a difference. It's the same root, Mishaneh. There's no difference. It's an opportunity. Every Shana, every year, is also a change. That we have a chance to become a changed person on this day. And so then the question becomes, so what are we focusing on changing? What are we trying to recreate within ourselves? What are we trying to, how do we want to reinvent ourselves? What should be our focus? And that's really what the Rosh Hashanah service is going to guide us in. What we want to be focused on. So as we read already, there seems to be this focus on, that God is king, and that's something that we want to internalize. But let's take a closer look again. If we go back to the first page, so there's kind of switches off. It says, instill your awe upon all your works and your dread upon all that you have created. So there's works versus created, awe versus dread. So there's two ways that a person could relate to God. One is with dread. I better serve God. I better not do the wrong thing because he's going to punish me. Or with awe, which is that I am in a world, that God created. I'm standing here before the King of Kings, the creator of the world. I'm in awe of him. And as a result, I want to serve him. I want to sanctify his name. And that's really the ultimate level of service of God, is not doing it out of dread that, I don't want to be punished, but rather out of awe of his greatness, that I want to serve him because he is the King of Kings. And so that's, we have this comparison, but really that's the higher level. Instill your awe upon all your works, and works would be, some translate as like handiwork. That's a more complimentary way of describing someone than someone who's been created, more like a creature. But if we can make ourselves God, we can complement ourselves as God's handiwork if we reach that level, or try to reach that level of having awe of God, of living with that, I'm standing before the King of Kings. And then we say, let all works revere you, and all those you have created prostrate themselves before you. So again, we have the works, which is the higher level that we're trying to reach, and we say that they should have reverence of God, versus those who are created who have dread, so they'll prostrate themselves. It's more of just an external service of God, as opposed to the works, which is those who have reverence. It's internalized. And it's that higher level of, I realize that I am in God's world, and God has created everything. God has given me everything that I have, and as a result, I want to serve him. And that's what we want to focus on Rosh Hashanah. That's what we want to recreate ourselves as is this, you know, a man or a woman, you know, God's man, God's woman. I'm in God's world, and I'm just totally awestruck by his greatness, and I'm inspired to serve him. And we pray for that, and we pray that, that the whole world should come to that recognition. And that's what, you know, we want to redefine ourselves as a person who is a servant of God. So now coming back to some of our questions. So first of all, this is an awareness, you know, this is like, you know, a very high level to reach. We always aim, you know, for a high level, but it's not something that's easy to maintain. But, you know, it's the high holidays, so we're shooting high. We want to get off to a good start. And then, you know, we sort of set our direction, and then as there, you know, it might not carry over every day, but if we set our direction, then we're on the right path. And God is going to judge us based on, you know, the direction that we set. So if you come back to some of our questions, so we asked, first of all, so we've sort of answered why we're focusing on this, but why don't we pray also for good health and all of those things? So if, you know, it's easy to understand it with a parable. A person, there's a king, and he's the king over a land that specializes in building resources. They have stone quarries, and they have forests, and they have everything you need to build, you know, magnificent buildings. And one day, one of the great architects of the land comes to the king, and he says, you know, king, you kind of have a nice house here, but you're the king. Like, why are you in such a small house? Why don't I build you, you know, a magnificent palace? So the king says, you know, it's a good idea, actually. I didn't think of that. So he goes, and the king has all his warehouses, you know, they're orange, and they say Home Depot, he goes to Home Depot, and all the guys in their orange shirts, they run over to him because they've been given special instructions that he's here to build the palace for the king. And everybody's looking on, like, what's going on? You know, why is this guy getting such good service? But you know, he comes with a list, and everything he says, they bring him right away. And you know, people are wondering what's going on, but then they realize that's because he's here to build a palace for the king. And so he just comes with his orders, and then the king will bring it to him. So that's what's going on here. We, on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of the year, we set our direction. God, this is what I want to do. I want to be a great servant. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. I want to perform mitzvot. And after that, you know, once we've set that direction, God says, okay, based on that, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to give a general judgment for you. And now, whenever you need something, you should come and ask me for it. Or come to my warehouse. Pray for each individual thing that you desire, and then it will be granted to you. So that's what's happening on Rosh Hashanah. We're setting the course. We're setting our direction. We're judged based on that potential that we create. And then every day we come back and we pray that which has been ordained that we can have, if we ask for it, we then will come each day to ask that it be granted to us. So, fine. So that is, I think, going to sum up our questions that we've asked so far. That's why we pray every day for these things. That's why, even though there's been a judgment on Rosh Hashanah on the first day of the year, where you still have to, it's not determined what exactly you're going to get. It's more of a general judgment, and then you have to ask in order to be granted those things that you truly need. Now, also, we ask, why is it on the first day of the year, not the last day of the year? Because really, we're being judged on our future. On what we, you know, we're creating the potential to become greater people for the future. And that's what we're being judged on, not so much on the past. We use the past to build for the future, right? We think, we contemplate our ways, we repent, all that's important, but it's really It's not so important for the past. It's more about the future, of who I'm going to recreate myself as. And that's really what the focus on. That's why it's on the first day of the year. It's not so much a judgment of the past, but really it's a placement test for the future of, you know, where you're going to be for this coming year. You know, in God's army, what's going to be your place? Are you going to get the supplies that you need in order to serve him the best way possible? Just turning to the back page. So I included here, I've never heard of this website before. It was a Google search. Baba Ghanoush, sounds good. But it was a great chart which has the simanim, which is a custom that many have on Rosh Hashanah to eat different fruit or vegetables and to recite a little prayer while we eat them. And you could see some of them are, we should only have good decrees, our enemies should be consumed, we should be fruitful and multiply. Different simanim, different symbolic foods that we eat on Rosh Hashanah. Now, in general, Judaism steers far away from these types of things. We have mitzvot in the Torah, and so if it's there, if it's in the Torah, it says take a lulav. So we don't always, an esrog on Sukkot, right? Palm frond, a lemon, and a drug. We don't really necessarily, we have reasons, explanations, but I wouldn't call that superstition because it's stated in the Torah. This is not written anywhere in the Torah. It doesn't say that there's a mitzvah to eat dates. It came from the rabbis. So what exactly, is this just superstitious nonsense? What are we trying to accomplish by eating a date and saying, our enemies should be consumed? So there are different explanations given. But the Meiri, who's one of the medieval commentaries, and I put his words down on the second page, his basic explanation is it's really just a conversation starter. You come to the festive meal, and is it just a festive meal, or is this, this is an important day, these are the high holidays, and we want to start the conversation about self-development and improvement, and, focus on our direction. And so the Meiri says that they develop this practice of having these foods to remind them of these ideas. So, for example, it talks about, our adversary should be removed. So he says it doesn't refer to our enemies, they should be removed too. But it's supposed to get the conversation started talking about, those inclinations that we want to be rid of, those desires that we chase that aren't necessarily, helpful to our spiritual development. And, we call it the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, right? But it's not like a little guy on your shoulder telling you to do wrong, but it's really just that natural urge to fulfill our own desires and not put others first and not put God first. And so we start the conversation by, we eat these foods and we remind ourselves, our adversary should be removed, our enemy should be removed, that we shouldn't have these challenges. We eat from a pomegranate and we start the conversation, we should have many merits, and we discuss that at the festive meal in order to again be focused on the important parts of the day, which are our own spiritual development and improving ourselves as servants of God. So it's a time to focus on what direction we want to go in. How can I become the best servant of God? Maybe we accept, again, it has to come in baby steps, really. And again, to have that focus at all times of being in awe of God's existence is hard. But even for just a few minutes a day, or, just to have a time of the day where I do something different than I would normally do. I arrive at prayers, on the high holidays a little bit earlier than I would have otherwise, just, as a recognition of this idea that, God's, the King of the universe, I should try to do something to acknowledge that. I take on a new mitzvah. I try to attend services more. I come keep kosher.
Classes.
What's that?
Come to classes here.
keep kosher on Shabbat. Whatever it is, right? One day a week. Just something that something that acknowledges, that I'm I'm here in working on a certain direction that acknowledges that, you know, I recognize God as King of the world. I'm in awe of him, and I want to be the best servant of God that I could be. Question.
So these foods, one of them says that our enemies should be consumed and our enemies be decimated. Why like different ways to get rid of the enemy?
So if you look in the explanation of each one, so these are just play on words, and it's based on the Hebrew word. So decimated, so it's kresha is weak. So they explain kresha resembles the Hebrew word karet, which they decided to translate as decimate, which, you know, you could translate however you want, but what? Cut off.
Oh, okay.
So that's where, you know, so the English word is based on the Hebrew word, which is just based on the food.
Right. But why wouldn't it be just mentioned once?
Because we're just trying to come up with as many ways to, you know, as many foods that we could find interesting or cute hints to
it's
different
sad
ideas.
That most everything are things that are going to be bad, that we're doing bad to other people.
Well, that's why I was offering the explanation. That doesn't necessarily, first of all, you know, enemies are enemies. But the explanation that the Meiri, which I was offering, is that it's not referring to physical enemies, but rather the evil inclination within each person, urge to follow our own desires rather than look out for others and look out for God. That's the enemy within that we're praying should be decimated. But really, it's not just a prayer, but it's a discussion starter. That how am I going to work on improving myself and to fend off those inclinations?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.